Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. You're listening to Around the House with Eric G. You know, this show is all about home improvement. It doesn't matter if you live in a Pearl District condo here in Portland or a Richland ranch house, because I'm here to help you get that project started, planned, and most importantly, completed. We are your live and local home improvement show. This isn't some crazy paid infomercial. We are live, local here in the Northwest, and this show is all about your phone calls. So, the secret magic number to get here in the studio with all your home improvement questions is 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Thought I'd get that out right at the beginning of the show. If you want to get me on, hit me up on email. That's an easy one, ath@kxl.com. And make sure you like that Facebook page because I've got a ton of stuff up on there. And that is Around the House with Eric G, and you could actually search at ATHKXL. I actually put up a fun one up on this last week. It was really fun, actually. It was an old vintage video of that I found of them building the Bridge of the Gods, and kind of cool up there because there are dudes up there in 1928 walking steel, no ropes, and what was the safety equipment? It was a dude in a rowboat in the river. That is the I don't know if I'd call those the good old days, but it's the old days. That is not fun. Well, we're talking home improvement today, and I want to talk about something kind of fun. I'm going to call winter over, which means it's probably going to snow in the next couple days if I say that.
I was going to say, that's a little dangerous, Eric. It's only February.
It is. And so I'm going to have some fun. And I know in the next couple days we could, especially down in Bend where I know it's going to be like 19 degrees one night. But generally speaking, I'm watching all the things in my yard come to life. And I know if you look over all across the state, there is a lot less snow than there was last year. So we're going to have probably a few little events that come through. But I think it's a good time to start diving into that spring checklist because I think it's a good opportunity right now for us to dive in and maybe get a few of these things knocked out that aren't so weather dependent. You know, I don't know if I would go out just yet and pull all the freeze protection stuff off of everything. At the same time, though, there's a lot of little things we can knock out. And if we can get ahead of that, that leaves to a little bit more fun in the summertime when this list is always seems to be, for including me, a little bit long. So one of the things I'd like to do is start talking about what you need to do outside, because on a day like today, it's not horrible out. You know, I don't care where you're at in our listening audience. There's at least some kind of sunshine out there. But one of the big things you can do, and it's depending on where you live, but clear the leaves and other debris from outside your air conditioner, heat pump, or whatever you've got outside. And if you've got one of those covers over an air conditioning unit, might be a good time to go ahead and take that thing off and get that thing ready to go. Those leaves, especially if you're over in Eastern Washington, you can literally have those big, huge sycamore leaves that are about the size of a dinner plate. And you get a bunch of those around stuff, they make a pile pretty quickly. Get those things cleaned up. Get them away from that. You'll be looking pretty good. Now, you're going to extend that one step further and jump in and clean out the debris around the window wells, storm drains, gutters, downspouts. Get all those things taken care of because, like most people, you probably knocked out some leaves in the early fall, but once you start getting into the fall, get busy with the holidays, those things blow around. And, of course, it's your neighbor down the street that didn't get them picked up, but they always end up in your yard. I don't know why that happens, but they always end up over there. And it always seems to be that way with me. I'd end up with a big pile of leaves, and it's like, okay, I got to get them taken care of. Those things, it's really easy now if they're crispy and they're easy to clean up. It's when we get into more of these rains and stuff, and they get soggy and messy, they're a lot harder to get picked up. So dive into those things and make sure that you get them out of the out of all your little crawl space vents and that kind of stuff, you want that airflow going through there, because it doesn't matter what side of the mountains you're on. Over here in the Portland west side, it is, you want that air to go through there and really get things kind of just dried up, because what happens is that airflow is going to help you. It's going to help cut down the risk of mold and mildew, radon. I mean, all that airflow through there actually does help you. So a little bit of goes a long way with that, but get those things cleaned up, you know, and if we're not in the, if we're beyond the freezing times, I'd make sure and pop those vents out as well so you can get some airflow through there. Get those foam vent covers out of the way, because those are going to help out. And again, airflow is king right there. While you're doing that, you know, here's the thing. I'm going off. I took Handyman's Bob's list, and I have added a whole bunch to it. So if this is a, if you listened to last year's show where Bob and I did this, well, I've got some new items on here. He talks about, and I wanted to talk about this because it's a key issue. When you're talking about downspouts and downspout extenders, I tell you what, there are more problems caused by water coming out of downspouts in basements and foundations if you don't have those things going into a storm drain line and getting them away from the house. I don't really want to see those downspout extenders on. And what I'm talking about that is if you've got a downspout coming out of your gutter and people go out and buy a little 3-foot piece to go underneath there, a piece of plastic to divert the water out a little further, or even a 6-foot one, I want to see that stuff 12, 14, 16 feet away from the house. So you don't want to put a big pipe along there, but at the same time, you know, put it underground, hook it into a system. It's going to save you a lot of time in the long run and a ton of money, which is why we're doing it. Hey, let's talk here to Danny out in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey there. So I, first of all, I apologize. I'm calling from work. It's a little bit noisy. So if you can't hear me and have to hang up,
it's all good, brother.
Hard feelings.
Go ahead, man.
So here's the thing. I do not have room on my property for a conventional shop. I have a little pump house with, like, you know, tanning shelves in it. And so what I have is a Costco-style tent in front of that. And it butts up great. Everything's fine. I've got my bench. I've got my tools. Everything's fine. But I want to get away from that zipper front, and I want to build a, you know, plywood style or something like wood style front to it with a door.
Okay.
Is there any reference you have for me that I can go to? There's so much stuff online, and most of it looks terrible.
Yeah, I'll be honest. What you're trying to do there, I would try to see if you could get, talk to some of the tent and awning companies out there, and maybe they can make a heavy-duty one that would actually give you something besides that,
really?
A snap or something like that, that you could sew onto the inside. Because that framing is not going to work well for you. And I'm going to put you on hold for just a second because of the noise on there so everybody else can hear you. But the thing is when you put that metal is so flimsy on the Costco ones, and I know this because I used to own one, and after the call, I'll tell a story about it, but really work on that, coming up with something light duty, because something light duty, man, is going to keep that thing together.
Well, I never even thought once about going to a tent or awning company, so that's fantastic.
I'd go that route. I bet you they're going to be able to dial something in, and they can make it custom for the end of that and make it maybe even put a little window in it so you can see what's going on.
Fair enough. It's got to be cheaper than buying good plywood.
It does. You would think so, but I talked to a few people. I'm sure there's an answer out there, man.
Hey, thank you so much for your time. You have a good day, okay?
You too, man. Thanks. Thanks for listening to Around the House. So I'll tell you a quick story before I go out to break. This is going to be a quick one. I had one of these in the Tri-Cities in Richland, and I was building a garage, and I had my 67 GTO sitting out there. We had, on my birthday, a windstorm come through. I went out there because it was lifting up pieces of asphalt that I had it fastened into my driveway with. This thing, a wind gust came through about 70 miles an hour. It grabbed it. I had a knife in my hand because I was cutting the tarp part away from it. It lifted me up about 8 feet. I'd pushed the car out of the way. It bounced off the roof of my neighbor's house and up into the power lines, and it was hanging up and off the power pole about 20 feet up in the air. So I have a love-hate relationship with these things. So not as fun. When we come back, we're going to dive into the home maintenance checklist, and I want to get all your calls with all your questions at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns.
This is Around the House with Eric G. Call with your home question now at 1-877-733-1011.
last spring of you and her in Florida. You're up on the ladder when it shatters and a smithereens. She shakes her head, looks at you, and says, ain't you good for anything? And you say, every week has a weekend.
Every week does have its weekend, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. I want to get your calls today. We're going to talk home improvement, and we're going to keep jamming through these at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. If you're shy and you don't want to call in, send an email to ATH at KXL, and make sure you jump onto our Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G., where I've got stuff over there, and we're going to have a good time this week. I got a lot of stuff to put up, so play along, follow along. Let's jump out here to Carol at Battleground. Welcome to Around the House.
Well, hello.
Hello. What can I help you with?
So here's my question. We bought this house 12 years ago, or actually 3 years ago. It's 12 years old. And we have the gutter problems that are coming out right onto our cement.
Okay.
So our cement over the last couple years has actually been ruined by the water just draining right on it. It's cracked. It's starting to lift, everything like that.
Yep.
So we want to rip out the cement and put in like 24 by 24 pavers with like gravel in between.
Sure.
But we also want to put a structure on that. Would that be able to hold its structure?
No. If you're gonna, what kind of structure are you trying to put on it?
Well, it's like an 80-foot by 12-foot cement that we'd have to replace.
Gotcha.
So we, you know, because it's such a large amount of yardage of cement. We wanted to do like half of it with pavers and then maybe the other half with actually the cement. But we need to put a big structure on it so we have, you know, we can actually go outside and not get wet.
Okay, so you're talking like a covered porch area or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be on it. If you were to build something like that on top of that, it's going to actually go down into a footing, so you would end up putting those pavers around the footing. You wouldn't attach right to the pavers, so that would just end up being kind of like a floor covering in a way underneath that structure, so you'd be fine there. You'd have to go down and do that, but just make sure you spend a fair amount of time, you know, getting that gutter situation take care of before you do that, before you put that stuff down.
Yeah,
that way you've got it.
Yeah, we're going to have to put in a drain so it drains way, way, like at least 12, 15 feet away from the top.
Perfect. That's what you need to do.
Some major issues, so.
It does. We're just talking about that.
That's basically my question, because we're arguing over cement and pavers, and I'm like, you know, I really like the paver idea because we have rescue dogs here all the time, so it makes sense, but the cement is just so expensive to have that much actually put out all at once.
It is, and pavers,
like half and half.
And pavers, if you do it right, isn't that inexpensive as well, because you've got a lot of prep work down there beneath it that you want to do to control that water. So it's not just pouring some sand out there and putting the pavers in. There's some really, really, if you follow the directions on how to put pavers in, especially in this area, you know, if you've got clay and things like underneath there, you could actually run that clay one direction into a water system to get the water away, and then put your pavers up there and control the water as well. So there's a lot of details to putting pavers in, especially here in the Northwest where we get a lot of rain on this side of the mountains. You can actually do some amazing things with pavers if they're done correctly.
Yeah, I wish whoever built this house would actually put this underneath the water system, underneath the cement instead, but people don't think sometimes. So.
Exactly, exactly.
And anyways,
Well, thanks for calling in, Carol.
Thank you for your help, because we're going to be working on that project this summer, I hope.
All right. Well, yeah, just do a lot of research, get some good plans, and you are good to go. And thanks for listening to Around the House. One thing I wanted to mention, this segment Around the House is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. Western Construction Systems is hiring full-time crew members, offering competitive benefits. To apply, visit westernconstructionsystems.com. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty, guaranteed. So if you're looking for a job around here, that is one of the places to go, because they have great benefits. So great benefits add up in this world that we live in these days. We've been talking everything about our home improvement list here of our spring checklist. And now that we wrapped up with Carol, I want to get your calls at 877-733-1011. That's 877 733-1011, because I know you're looking outside and you've got that mountain list of things that you want to knock out, and I'm here to help guide you through those things, because this list gets long. And Carol just kind of wrapped up my initial thoughts here that we were talking about in the last segment, talking about, you know, water and downspouts, and that I want to touch base on that, because if you're just joining us, those downspouts do more damage to your walkway. They do more damage to your foundation. Get those things in a storm drain system. Get them out. Get them away. And you know something? You're going to be pretty well dialed in and protecting that. And I tell you what, that does more damage to so many houses out there with water. Get it dialed in. Save yourself a ton of money, because nobody wants to have to, you know, you spend a few $100 in the greatest DIY project, that can save you tens of thousands on a foundation or concrete work later on. So that ounce of prevention goes a long way with that. So other thing, inspect your gutters for signs of sagging and damage. Fix as necessary. It's that same water story. You know, if you've got that sagging gutter and the water's dripping over and landing on your driveway or anywhere else, that's going to end up tearing up the walkway. It's going to end up getting water down in the foundation or crawl space. And you know something? Again, it's damage. And just like everything we're going to talk about on this list today, this list is going to drive, it's preventive maintenance on this stuff, because it never gets better. You know, that water damage, the lack of caulking, all those things. And I tell you what, it is going to create a ton of problems. Hey, let's start out here. I don't know if we'll have time to jump too much into this, but let's start out here with Ray in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Listen, I have an older house. It's a ranch house built in 1954. And over time, I've changed out light fixtures, you know, and there's like just a black and a white wire. But when you buy a light fixture, it's got like a ground wire or like the copper wire or something in there for a ground.
Yes.
What are you really supposed to attach those to those little light boxes in there if there's like not even a ground wire available or something?
Well, really, you know, you want to run in a perfect world, you want to run a ground wire up to that to have that fixture grounded. So many of those old light fixtures and the older wiring, they didn't have ground wires. That's why when you look at even old electrical plugs, you'll see just the two-prong plugs in there. So the ground wasn't a huge safety item back then.
Okay, so that's all I need to do.
Yeah, I'd run a ground wire up to it, ground that thing out, and then that'll give you some pretty good insurance on that and keep you from, you know, getting somebody hurt if somebody grabs that thing and then you got a short up there.
Okay, right on. That was simple. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Yeah, that, you know, it's funny. It's so easy, and I've done this myself in my own place. You just go, oh, I'm going to wrap it on the screw and call it a day. Well, you're not grounding it to anything. So make sure you ground the fixture. Get it done. Do it right. And I know it's kind of a headache to run the ground wire up there, but might be a good time to just run a whole new wire up there correctly. If you're running one wire, you might as well do it all and just upgrade it all at the same time a little bit while you're at it. We come back. We're going to take all your calls at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns. This song. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Got a little Neil going on here in the background. Always a good time when he's involved. You know, this segment Around the House is brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality, affordable custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for nearly 50 years. AdairHomes.com. So we've been talking here the spring, you know, my spring checklist of what you do to go through your house, you know, to really get it dialed in and get those maintenance things caught up. And we've been talking here about gutters and storm drains and things like that. I was just actually texting during the break with David from Western Construction Systems, and he's a valuable sponsor to our show. And he did mention that if that's beyond your ability and you want to have a professional come out, they'll come out and give you a free estimate for that. So that's another way to get that taken care of, because even if you got to pay somebody else to do it, it's going to prevent a lot of problems down the road. That water is a huge problem. Now, I want to get all your calls as well, because I know you're out there looking at that sunshine outside and the maybe the reasonable weather coming up the next few weeks, and you're going, oh, man, I got to get off to this list. And give a call in, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. And, of course, you can email at ATH@KXL.com. And make sure you like the Facebook page, which is Around the House with Eric G. And also, if you want to listen to what happened last show or the show before, you can get all the podcasts on AroundTheHouseOnline.com. And I've got all the previous shows for the last, 6 or 7 years on there. So that's a great resource if you want to go back and listen. Now, one of the things coming up, too, I wanted to mention, we've got some fun coming up. Next week, I'm going to be out broadcasting live with Pyramid Heating and Cooling from the Spring Big Home Show here in Portland out at the Expo Center. So that, actually, no, that's 2 weeks from now. Next week, sorry, I've got Stan Jessup coming in from the Oregon CCB. He's going to be coming in next week, which is going to be awesome. So next week I got Stan Jessup coming in. So we're going to talk next week about how to hire a contractor, how to hire a handyman. What's the right way to do this to protect yourself? So that's going to be a big one. And the following week, we're going to have, we'll be out at the home show with Pyramid Heating and Cooling and having fun out there. So we got a quick couple weeks coming up with some big people on the show here that hopefully can help you with some of these questions. So 877-733-1011 is how you get here in the studio. So I can help you with those questions. So we've been talking, you know, gutters and downspouts and all that stuff. And next thing I want to do is trim back all those overhanging limbs on trees and bushes. I don't like having trees and bushes hitting the house. It's how rodents get in. It's how pests get in. It's how it wears down, creates damage to the outside, because I don't care where you're at in the Pacific Northwest, we have these wind things. And when you've got brush up against the house, it loves to hurt siding and paint and create tons of problems. So go around and do that. Take a look at them. Trim them back carefully. No being a butcher out there, but, you know, do something nice. And it's a good time right now because the leaves really aren't on the trees yet. And with that, it's a lot easier to clean up the mess because you're not dealing with all the leaves. So it's a little easier to get them right now versus a little bit later. And also, it's a good time when you're doing that because you're walking around your house. Take a look and check the weather stripping on the windows and doors and fit and condition, and repair is necessary. You know, you might have done this in the early fall and checked out, but, you know, with the weather and animals and everything else out there, things get torn, things get ripped, and it's a good time to dive into those because that's money coming out of there. You know, if you've got, you know, leaks, and it's amazing how many in homes when I'm out there talking to people about whatever project I'm working on with them, it's amazing to see how many times you can actually look and see daylight out of places, daylight out of basements, daylight out of places like that. And, you know, it's crazy. And I'm going to sidestep here and go off on a story real quick. I was out at somebody's house this week. I felt bad for this guy. And this is going to lead into our story of next week when I have Stan Jessup in from the Oregon CCB. And he's an avid listener to the show, and we really appreciate working with them on these kind of things. But this guy went out and hired a contractor to do this beautiful stamped patio for the back of his house. And I was shocked because all of our rain, I don't know who he hired. I don't think they were licensed and bonded. It looked pretty decent from the outside. But this guy didn't measure to see what level was or anything when he built the forms and formed it out. This dude built a bowl in this guy's backyard with no drain. So all four corners of this thing were high, and he had about 3 inches of water in the middle of his patio just sitting there all winter. And being where he, you know, it goes down to buying and paying for the lowest bidder. I think he said he had about a $3,500 bid on this, and everybody else was $7,000. And now he's going to pay more to get it fixed than what he saved. And so we'll talk about that next week. But when you're doing these projects, guys, make sure you check and see who you get out there, because do your homework. Don't be tempted to fire that cheapest contractor or the one that's unlicensed and bonded off of whatever website, whether it's Craigslist, Nextdoor, Thumbtack, whoever you're talking to out there. Be careful. Do your homework. It'll pay for itself every single time, because this guy's going to end up probably pouring a brand new patio and paying the $7,000 probably on top of the money he did before, because it's not going to last with 4 inches of standing water in it for 4 months out of the year. He's going to have a swimming pool out there. So that is going to be a big problem. Well, so let's dive into this list a little bit more here. Actually, we got some calls coming in here. We got Jenny from Beaverton calling in. Let's grab this. Welcome to Around the House, Jenny.
Oh.
What can I help you with?
I live in Beaverton, and I want to pour concrete slabs with my husband at the house. And I was calling to see if you know how many feet you have to pour to stay without having to buy a permit.
You know, that's...
To go through the city.
You know, I don't know what the city of Beaverton's rules are, and you can probably jump on their website and get it. Many times, they're not too concerned about just doing a concrete patio out there and putting some hard covering on it. Sometimes it comes down to dealing with water out there, but if you're just pouring a back patio, many times if you're not touching anything, that's not as big an issue with doing that. It's if it's higher and you have a railing needed or something like that where you've got a step down next to it, that's a little bit of a different story. But I bet you if you jump over to City of Beaverton's website, they could give you that probably pretty quickly. Every city's a little bit different, even though that we've got, Oregon building codes. If you're in Salem, you might not need a permit where the city of Portland says you do. And so it's very localized question with that type of thing.
Right. I read the restrictions, and you have to pour with less than 30 inches height. But what I want to do is I want to pour a driveway from the front of the house to the back of the house. We have a large lot.
Okay.
And I have a storage building in the back that I keep my really nice cars in.
Sure.
And so we've been using gravel, but I wanted to pour sections, to stay within the code,
mm-hmm,
without having to get a permit. And
here's the thing. I wouldn't be in the expense of what your project is. I wouldn't worry so much about having to get a permit out for there. Permit out for that, because those are just kind of counter permits, and so they're going to be pretty easy to get. You're just going to go and pay your little bit of a fee and do it. It's not like you're building a new house out there, but if they require one, you're probably, especially since you're going out to the curb with it, I would probably just go ahead and spend the few $100 that it's probably going to be and just get the permit and follow the rules. It's probably going to be easier in the long run, and then you're going to get what you want.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck out there. And thanks for calling and listening to Around the House. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. And Darren and Gladstone, sit tight. We'll get back to you as soon as Around the House returns.
Around the House with Eric G is on the way. So get your questions ready and call in now. 1-877-733-1011 on KXL.
Do you want to hear just to make you feel alright? I'm trying to tell you I don't care what you're saying is a lie. I get you laughing.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Listen to a little Jade here as you hear me talk about this kid all the time. Love that he's 17 and local, so that's a fun little thing. And got a little more information on him over on Around the House with Eric G. And over at the Facebook page over there, you can find it there. Well, we've been talking home improvement, spring maintenance checklist. Welcome back, 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. And if you're shy, shout out an email to ATH@KXL.com. And I'll try to get to you and get those questions on the air as well. Hey, let's jump over to Darren in Gladstone, who's been patiently waiting. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man. What can I help you with?
It's a beautiful day. I'm out doing, as you suggested, getting things ready for the year.
Right on.
I got kind of what I consider might be a softball question for you, but something that's bothering me.
No worries.
A lot of bark dust. All my mm-hmm. flower beds, everything's bark dust. I'm not a big fan. I want to go over to like a smooth river rock, a smaller gravel. The big thing is, what should I use for a barrier? I did this last year in the backyard. I built a fire pit in the back and put down paver stones.
Yep.
And of course, over the winter, I've got nothing but grass and weeds coming up between. Mm-hmm. What should I put down? I know this is a question about, you know, how do you herd cats, you know, but what's the best bang for my buck and going to be the least maintenance, I guess you'd say.
You know, what I do is I kind of do a combination of stuff when I'm doing stuff out there. I get a really good high quality weed fabric. And then in the spring about this time, I start hitting it with like the pre-emergent stuff like preen and some of those things that you just hit out there in those areas with the granules, and that will sure help keep those seeds from germinating and growing up into stuff. But I think it's going to end up being a mixture of that very high quality, nice thick weed fabric and a pre-emergent, and that's kind of how I've done it in the past, and I've been pretty successful with it, because it, for me, I've used the inexpensive stuff, and it always seems to be like the weeds like to grow into it, and then you end up pulling that and it with it, and it's frustrating.
Right, and I ran into that also. I was just hoping you've been there and done that, which you have. So.
Oh, yeah. But I would do that. One thing to keep in mind, too, when you're putting rock and things in around there, especially if it's around, you're getting close to the grass out there, be careful with it, because if it's an area where you're going to get a little bit of traffic that'll come up on it, it's just Murphy's Law. That stuff gets out into the grass, and then you end up fighting that as well with the lawnmower, and you end up sharpening that blade probably a few more times than you want to.
Yeah. Would you suggest, like, you know, those plastic, I don't know what you call them, like 3 or 4 inch barriers, the edging between your yard and your flower beds?
Yeah, those are good. Get something super, super heavy duty. You know, if you've got a high traffic area, you can get creative and do your own concrete ones too. That's not a bad little DIY project with, you know, some bags of Quikrete and have some fun. You can almost build your own. I've built my own little form out of that using like plywood, and build your own little form out of that where you can actually build your own little template out of it and have some fun with that.
Oh, but practice first. I heard you last week saying, take on a project you don't know, do a little practice first.
Amen, man. Start a little project first before you dive off on it, because just like anything else, the first time doesn't always end up perfectly.
That's right. Well, believe me, I listen to you, and I'm looking forward to your show next week about hiring a contractor. I heard you talking about that a few minutes ago, and I got a couple things that are beyond me, and I need to have somebody come do them. And I'm looking forward to your show next week, definitely on that.
Cool. Stay tuned on that. And then a couple weeks here, too, after we get through this round here, I'm going to bring on my buddy Skip Bedell from Catch a Contractor. That he did that whole show, Busting Contractors, with Adam Carolla. I'll bring him on, and then we'll tell some good stories as well, and that'll be a good time.
Oh, that sounds entertaining.
All right, brother. Darren, thanks so much for listening, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. We'll see you later.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, let's see if we can jump out here real quick to Craig. Welcome to Around the House.
Well, good afternoon there, Harry G.
Thank you, sir. What's happening?
I got a question for you about, what's that?
What's happening?
Oh, I got some plexiglass that I want to cut.
All right.
It's for an off-road vehicle.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. It's a side window.
Okay.
And it's about a quarter inch thick, I guess, but it's a big sheet of it. I need to cut some corners around it, but I don't know how to cut this stuff without shattering it or cracking it or whatever.
You know, with plexiglass, I've always used very, very, and I've had pretty good success with this. I've used just on a regular saber saw, I've just used the very fine tooth blades and go slow so you don't melt it. I've done pretty well with that. The other way you can do it too is actually use a sander as well. You can actually sand those edges and almost if you're just trying to cut a little bit, but it's just depending on what you're trying to do with that. But you're right, you can bust that stuff quickly if you get too heavy with it. Whoop, I lost him. So no big deal. Well, when we come back, we're gonna dive into hour two. Good timing, Craig. Thanks for calling. But I tell you what, we're gonna have fun this next hour, because we're gonna dive into this list again just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey,
Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.